We're going to read tonight from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 9, please. Ezekiel chapter 9. If you want a title for tonight's message, it's up on the screen. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. That was the prayer of Habakkuk. You remember in chapter 3, he prayed, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. We're going to read tonight in this passage from Ezekiel about wrath and mercy, both those things, wrath and mercy. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. I'm sure we all have done that this week. We have sighed and we have cried at the thought of the abortion holocaust that's about to be unleashed upon us. We sigh, but we cry. We cry out to God in prayer. No good sighing without crying. No good being brokenhearted over the state of our land if we're not prepared to cry out to God in prayer. And so here we have these people in Jerusalem, a minority, I might add, but they were still the Lord's people, and they sighed and they cried for the abominations that were taking place. This is a mark of grace, you know. It's a mark of grace in the life of an individual. It's a sign that they are truly saved when they sigh at the abominations that are happening all around. And so we sigh about the whole abortion issue, and that's proof that we are saved. Verse 5. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and as I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood. I want you to mark that tonight, friends. The land is full of blood. and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. There we have the Saviour. The man clothed with linen. Linen in the Bible speaks of righteousness. Here is the Lord Jesus in what we call a theophany or a Christophany. Christ appearing in the pages of Old Testament Scripture. And here he is, the man clothed with linen. The man with perfect righteousness. There's not one of us of perfect righteousness. That's why we need him. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Here he is in Ezekiel chapter 9. Don't we often lament that we fall short of God's perfect standard of righteousness? Well, don't despair, because we have the Lord our righteousness. And his righteousness has been put to our account. His righteousness has been credited to our spiritual bank account. And our debt has been removed. All the debt has been paid. Thank God tonight for this blessed man clothed with linen, our Savior. It says that he had the inkhorn by his side. And it says that he reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Listen to those words again. I have done as thou hast commanded me. Does that remind you of something? John 19:30 on the cross. It is finished. I have done as thou hast commanded me. I've finished the work. We rejoice tonight in the one who has finished the work of redemption. Yes, life has its struggles, its heartaches, and there are days whenever we wonder, can we keep going? Can we go on any longer? We're so weak and weary and worn out. Do you ever have days like that? We all do. But isn't it good tonight that we can look to the one who has finished the work and lean upon him, find strength in him? Do you know that Ezekiel means God strengthens? That's what the name Ezekiel means. The prophecy that we have read tonight, written by this prophet of the Lord, Ezekiel, his name literally means God strengthens. I pray tonight that as we get down to prayer for the unborn, that God will strengthen each one of us. Some of you maybe have had a difficult week. Health hasn't been too good. Ezekiel, God strengthens. Well, I did say that the few thoughts tonight would be entitled, In Wrath, Remember Mercy. Obviously, you've got the wrath there, first of all, in this chapter. Look at verse 2 again. Verse 2. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. Here are death angels. Death angels. Six of them. Six destroying angels have come to Jerusalem to execute divine wrath upon the city. Six. That's a lot. You think back to whenever the Passover took place, and this weekend, by the way, is the beginning of Passover for the Jews. But you think back to the very first Passover in Egypt. How many death angels were there? One. The destroying angel, just one, passed through the land of Egypt. And we know what carnage he caused. The judgment fell from that one angel. Remember whenever Sodom and Gomorrah's sin had reached the nostrils of a holy God, and God had enough, and their cup of iniquity had overflowed. You remember how many angels, how many death angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah? Two. Passover, one death angel. Sodom and Gomorrah, two death angels. But here's six. Six men have come to Jerusalem. The sin must be awful. The crime of this city must be horrendous. If six destroying angels are sent. But you know, I have to ask a question tonight. If one death angel was sent to Egypt, if two death angels were sent to Sodom, if six death angels were sent to Jerusalem, how many death angels do we deserve? How many death angels does the United Kingdom deserve? One abortion every 3 minutes? We'd be here tonight maybe an hour and a half. Many abortions will have taken place in that time in our United Kingdom. In our kingdom, in our nation, that supposedly this last year has been so interested in saving lives. But what about every little life in the womb that has been snuffed out every 3 minutes this last year, with the government's full support? How many death angels should the Lord send to us? What about the Republic of Ireland since 2018, when abortion was legalised? You remember the jumping and the dancing for joy in Dublin? You remember Michelle O'Neill and Mary Lou McDonald? The North is next. You know how many children have been slaughtered in the south of Ireland in those 12 months from abortion was legalised? 6,666. Whenever I saw those sixes, all the sixes, I was reminded of Antichrist. All the sixes. How many death angels does the south of Ireland deserve? You see, the awfulness of the sin of abortion in the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland is that it is sin against light. Our nation has sinned against light. We're a nation full of Bibles. We're a nation full of evangelical churches. And our leaders and our politicians know all about the Bible and the Ten Commandments, but yet they shake their fist at Almighty God. If ever there was proof of the long-suffering and the patience of our wonderful God, here we have it. I mean, the Lord could just have wiped us out, and we would fully deserve it. But he hasn't. How merciful he is. We deserve wrath. Our nation, these islands deserve wrath. And so we have this picture of wrath here being poured out upon Jerusalem. These six death angels coming to the city. We know, of course, that Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 587 BC. Ezekiel here is predicting this awful event, probably about 5 years before it happened. Ezekiel comes with this message that judgment is on the way because of the sin of the nation. And the sin of the nation is mentioned there in verse 9. You notice that I referred to it earlier. The land is full of blood. The land is full of blood. That's why the judgment was coming on Jerusalem. Can we say anything else tonight but that judgment is coming upon the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland? Wasn't it Leonard Ravenhill who said that if God doesn't judge our nation, that he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah? We could add to that that he'll have to apologize to Jerusalem. He'll have to apologize to Egypt. We know that our God doesn't need to apologize because his justice is perfect. He is fair. And he will judge those who have rebelled against them. I declare tonight that judgment is coming upon our nation because of what the Westminster government has imposed upon us. Judgment will fall. God is not mocked. The land is full of blood. Do you know that over the past year, since the 31st of March last year, when these regulations were brought in to our province, do you know that 1,345 babies have been murdered? I thought it was 1,200 until I checked there just recently. The figure is 1,345. The Department of Health have released the figure. The land is full of blood. It's going to be worse if these regulations are fully commissioned. If Brandon Lewis has his way, if the Northern Ireland office have their way, we're here tonight to pray against them, to pray that they don't have their way. But it's going to be worse if they do have their way. 6,500 innocents will be slaughtered. The land will be full of innocent blood. But thank God in this chapter, Ezekiel 9, there's not only wrath, but there's mercy. Verse 2. One man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. We've already said that's the Saviour. If you notice, it tells us in the same verse where these seven men go to. You have the Saviour, and then you've got the six destroying angels. Some people would say that they were soldiers in the Babylonian army, or they looked like soldiers in the Babylonian army, but they were actually angels sent by God. But whoever they were, you've got these six men and you've got the Saviour, and they go, notice the end of verse 2, they go to the brazen altar. The brazen altar was that piece of furniture in the temple in Jerusalem where the lambs were brought and their blood was shed. The brazen altar speaks of sacrifice. The sacrifice of the innocent victim. Let me make it really simple and plain tonight. The brazen altar speaks of the cross of Calvary. To us, it speaks of the cross where Jesus died. It speaks of his precious blood that was shed for us. You see, friends, we deserve wrath tonight as well. We're talking and thinking tonight about the people in Jerusalem and the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the people in Egypt all those years ago. And my, it's very easy to be holier than thou and say, well, they deserved it, but we don't. The reality is that we do deserve wrath. We deserve to be judged for our sins. But thank God tonight for the brazen altar. Thank God tonight for that cross upon which Jesus died for us. The wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid. There's mercy. There is mercy for Brandon Lewis tonight, if he wants it. I get the distinct impression that he has no interest in God's mercy. But we trust the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will move upon him and bring him to a place where he realizes his need of mercy. There's mercy for the Northern Ireland office. There's mercy for the MPs in Westminster who are pushing this evil. There's mercy tonight for Sinn Féin. There's mercy for the Alliance Party. There's mercy for the Green Party. If only they will turn to the Saviour. Thank God for the wonderful mercy that has been made available for sinners who will come to the blood of Christ. Let me finish tonight with this thought. You see the word mark there that's mentioned in verse 6? Notice what it says there. Come not near any man upon whom is the mark. You see that word mark? It's the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. But you know how you write it? Like a cross. It looks like a cross. The mark was upon the believers in Jerusalem all those years ago. The man with the inkhorn, the Lord Jesus, he went before the destroying angels and he put a mark, or he put a cross, on each one of his children. And none of the destroying angels who were coming behind him dare lay a finger on those who had the mark, because they were safe. The cross. Thank God tonight there's safety in the cross. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy find me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. We're going to sing that hymn just before we pray. It's 504. Fanny Crosby's great hymn, Jesus keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. We'll stand as we sing the first and the last verses, please.